This is the Voice of Truth. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis bringing you another old-fashioned gospel message by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr., who was the pastor and founder of Radio Missions. Slander, Satan's Masterpiece. You may get these messages in print simply by writing, but you stay tuned now. Slander, Satan's Masterpiece.
I've set forth in God's Word these words in Ephesians 2:10. Listen, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now he's talking about molding the believer here in the likeness of Christ. Listen again, as 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In the first selection we read to you, we are God's workmanship, means that we are God's poem, and He is slowly unfolding in the life of every believer the image of the Son of God. We also find in 2 Corinthians 4th chapter the fact that God lets the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shine in our hearts for one purpose, to make us in the image of Christ. Now let's listen to the opposite. 2 Thessalonians 2:9. We find these words, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, get it now, hold it, they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie and be damned. Just as the Holy Spirit works in the heart of the believer to conform him into the image of Christ, so the spirit of Satan works in the unbeliever who has no love of truth to mold him into the image of Satan. Then slander is Satan's masterpiece, a fine art of the human race, fashioning the mind that the individual will not believe the truth, but believe a lie, that they all might be damned. Notice that the coming of Satan is with power, signs, lying wonders, deceivableness of unrighteousness, literally with every deceit of unrighteousness. Now he comes in the human heart to change that heart and life into a demon. Now let's look into the nature of slander and see more fully what slander is. Now you listen. Listen closely. Slander is egotism personified, which makes a person overestimate himself. You can't convince him that he's ignorant of anything. Slander is hatred exemplified. It lays open the heart and lets you see the hatred hidden beneath. I have known individuals before they got trapped in the role of slander, and their life seemed to be sweet and gracious and tender. But after they were entangled with the snare of slander, bitterness and hatred began to creep into their whole life and slowly transform that kind face into the face of a demon. Then slander is justice deified. Here we see that the slanderer intrudes himself into God's place and begins to pass judgment upon individuals as to whether they're guilty, whether they're saved or lost, and so on. And when they try to execute the sentence they have passed by threatening them as guilty of what they have condemned, not knowing that vengeance belongeth unto the Lord. Then again, slander is motives vilified. The slander degrades, debases, imputes vile motives, get this now, to the individual's every word, act, and even his silence. Yes, they will question your every motive. They will put their thoughts. Now you get this. Now here is one of the tricks of a slanderer. They will put their thoughts and words into your mouth and quote them as saying what they would like to say, and then peddle their lies as if you had thought, said, and done their evil imaginations. When I hear an individual slandering my character, I just keep my mouth shut and listen, because he or she is telling me what they are and how they're living or would like to live. Then again, slander is motes and minor faults magnified. The slanderer will note every mote or minor fault and begin to magnify it or magnify them and make a mountain out of them, and in the end try to avenge society of such a great criminal as they make you appear to be. Thus again, slander is murder pacified. They will magnify every little thing about the individual, building up in their heart a spirit of revenge that will justify their murder and their hatred. And but for the law of the land, they'd kill you, believing they're doing God's will. Then slander is self-pity gratified. They imagine that their character has been injured, their reputation cried down, and they have been so mistreated, and the only thing that seems to recompense them is to enlist others who will sympathize with them. They can put on such false humility and carry with them a martyr's complex until folks will believe that they have been treated cruelly and will sympathize with them and join hands to fight for them. They are so blind that they can't see the difference. Slander is grudges fortified. Every slanderer has some type of grudge against the individual that he defames, speaks evil of, and cries down. He builds his whole slanderous campaign on those grudges that he holds in his heart and mind against the individual. The usual nature of the grudge is governed by the fact that the object of his hatred is innocent of some sin that he himself is trying to cover up. In other words, he's projecting his guilt and his sin to the innocent individual, trying to cover up. The harder he fights to cover his sin, the stronger becomes his grudge against everyone who is not guilty. Slander capitalizes on the timid, terrified, because slanderers are bullies who put on their campaign as a roaring lion leader and intimidates the ignorant with his inside information, so-called, and puts the true-hearted soul on the defense, or tries to, by demanding judgment on his sin, and then creates mysterious aurora of sin against the victim. He high pressures the hesitant in striking hands with him and casting lots with him for his greatly advertised righteous cause, treating him into joining forces against his victim. He manipulates mob psychology and tries to sweep the crowd on his bandwagon while they're unguarded and unfortified with the facts and easily swayed by emotions, the wrath against sin, and the fear he inspires in his followers make them afraid he will turn on them in like manner. Then slanderer is character disqualified. The slanderer appears to pass the final and authoritative judgment or estimate of one's personal character as being completely destitute of any merit and unfit for decent human beings to associate with. An individual who's been slandered is shunned like the plague by everyone who believes the slander. The slandered individual suffers from public guarantee as of a horrid, contagious disease because of the reputation falsified. Usually the public does not take time to investigate the truth of the matter, and the average individual doesn't know the difference between one's real character and his reputation. That is a report about his character unless he himself has been slandered. Now, if you've ever gone through the mill of slander, you know what I'm talking about. Another sad fact about slander is the innocence crucified, as all the slandered man's true friends who know the truth and stick by him are classed in the same category as the victim. In such a slander campaign, you learn who your real friends are, because only a true friend will stick by you and share your slandered reputation with you. Listen to Romans 5:7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God, Christ took upon himself our reputation as a true friend indeed, and not only our shame and disgrace as a rebel against God, a sinner who deserved to die, but bore our sins and God's judgment upon them. That's grace. I've always said, if I have Christ, he's sufficient. And if I have a friend, that's Christ plus a friend. But I don't need no one but Christ. Therefore, in a slander campaign, you have persecutions multiplied, because everyone who refuses to join the slander mongrels becomes the object of their persecutions. And the longer the individual refuses to die, the more the persecutions increase. They sit up day and night to think up new inventions and lay new plans, revise old procedures and slogans, and recruit new soldiers. When you look at a slanderer under God's x-ray, you'll see a son of Satan with the mental bent and image of Satan, his father. Satan is the great slanderer, according to God's word, as pictured in the various names he is called. The great name for devil is Diabolos, means slanderer or accuser. Study the character and work of the slanderer, and you'll see how Satan works to play the ends against the middle by accusing God to man and accusing man to God. God's word pictures the slanderer as being caught in a snare and entangled. In fact, God says that he shall be caught in the same net that he's laid for his victim. Brother, these great promises of God are sweet morsels for God's child. Now let's look at a picture of the slanderer as a deceiver. For the word of God says, Antichrist coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness. Turn to Proverbs 16:12, and let's read beginning with verse 12. A worthless creature is the deceiver. He that walketh in perverseness of speech, he who winketh with his eye, who speaketh with the foot, who hinteth with his finger. Perverseness is in his heart. He deviseth evil at all times. He stirreth up strifes. Therefore suddenly shall his destruction come. In a moment shall he be destroyed, and there is no remedy. Notice the sevenfold description of the deceiver: perverseness of speech, winks with the eyes, speaks with the foot, hints with his finger, perverseness in heart, deviseth evil at all times, stirreth up strife. Now, before we go into that description, let's look at the next four verses, beginning with verse 16. These six things Jehovah hateth, seven are an abomination of his soul: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth evil plots, feet that make haste to run to evil, one that uttereth lies as a false witness, and one that stirreth up strife between brethren. This is a parallel passage to the four preceding verses, and contain also seven things God hates. Listen to them. Listen, namely the characteristics of the deceiver. Here they are: haughty eyes, lying tongues, hands that shed innocent blood, heart that deviseth evil plots, feet that haste to run to evil, one who utters lies, one who stirs up strife between brethren. Here we have in both passages the perverseness for deceitfulness of speech and the lying tongue. This is the first move of the deceiver. He approaches others with lying lips. He cannot tell the truth. How many individuals can you trust to tell a matter and to know that it will be locked in their heart? No, the average individual wants to tell everything he hears and everything he knows. That's right. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth their friends. We cause 9/10 of our trouble with our own tongue. This love of hearing and telling news, which is gossip, often results in raising a false report. Thou shalt not raise a false report, says Exodus 23, 1 and 2. But now thy hand with the wicked, put not thy hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to rest judgment. This is the commandment that the preacher in Proverbs is discussing in that 16th chapter, which he opens by saying, listen, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself, make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thy eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Here God's pleading with you to come out of that group of slanderers. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately or incurably wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searches the heart. By nature, you and every one of us are sons of Satan and have the deceitful nature inherited from our spiritual father, Satan, unless we have been redeemed by the blood of Christ and by the grace of God. The unruly tongue, which is a whirl of iniquity, cannot tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, unless the grace of God makes truth or works truth in the inward parts. Thou hast made me to know truth in the inward parts, cries the apostle. Now, my friend, in much talking there is much sin, because the individual always has to have some morsel of news And if he doesn't have it, he must make it, or enlarge upon it, or dress it up in a dramatic way to get an audience, or to have someone to talk to, or someone to talk about. The individual without Christ has an empty heart, and he'll fill it with something. This leads to tattling, babbling, evil speaking, evil surmising, whispering, finally to judging uncharitably, hearing false witness, defaming, backbiting. Listen here to 1 Timothy. Moreover, they go about from house to house. They learn to be idlers, and not only idlers, but gossip, that is, tattlers, and busybodies, saying what they should not say and talking of things they should not mention. Then in Ecclesiastes, if the serpent bites before it is charmed, then it is no use to call a charmer. And the slanderer is no better than the uncharmed snake. Now that's the way you're compared to an uncharmed snake. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious and wins him favor, but the lips of the fool will consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is wicked madness. A fool also multiplies words, though no man can tell what will be and what will happen after he's gone. Who can tell him? No one can tell him. The labor of fools, where is every one of them? Where is every one of them? Because he is so ignorant of the ordinary matters that he does not even know the way to town. Now that's what God's word says. Over there in Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter, listen to Psalms 41. My enemies speak evil of me, saying, when will he die and his name perish? Now that's the slanderer. When will he die? I know some years ago, some fellow came into New Orleans and said, well, how is Sheldon getting along? They said, well, we have killed him 9 times, but the old fool don't know when he's dead. No, I've never known when I've been dead. They've killed me. And if you're waiting for me to die, you have to take that up with the Lord. Then again, 1 Timothy said he is puffed up with pride and stupefied with conceit. Although he is wrongfully ignorant, he has a morbid fondness for controversy and disputes and strifes about words, which result in producing envy and jealousy, quarrels, dissensions, abuse, insults, and slander, and base suspicions. That's evil surmisings and protracted, wrangling, wearing discussion and perpetual friction among men who are corrupted in mind and bereft of the truth, who imagine that godliness or righteousness is a source of profit, a money-making business, a means of livelihood. From such withdrawal. Now that's God's word. Listen again, Romans 1:28. And so since they did not see fit to acknowledge or approve of God or consider him worth the knowing, God gave them over to base and condemned mind to do things not proper, but are decent, but loathsome, until they were filled, that is, permeated, saturated with every kind of unrighteousness, iniquity, grasping, and covetous greed and malice. They were full of envy and jealousy, murder, strife, deceit, treachery, ill will, and cruel, slanderers, hateful to and hating God, full of insolence, arrogance, boastful, inventors of new forms of evil, disobedient and undutiful to parents. Now that's description of the slanderer. Listen again. James 4, my brethren, do not speak evil about or accuse one another. He that malays a brother or judges his brother is criticizing the law and judging the law. But if you judge the law, You're not a practicer of the law, but a censure and a judge of it. The only one only is the lawgiver and judge, one who has absolute power of life and death, who's able to save and destroy. But you, who are you that you presume to pass judgment on your neighbor? This is the sinner whom Satan takes hold of, and with a working of delusion weaves the warp and woof of the deceitful and deceived heart that does not and cannot discern between truth and error. He has been so deceived and so deceived himself until he'll swear on the witness stand that the lies he's told are the truth. Now get this great last statement of the deceiver. God hates he that soweth discord among the brethren. The word soweth means to cast from a distance as an arrow from an ambush. Now that's one who sows discord, is one who's waiting to cast the arrow out to the against the individual.
This brings to close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis thanking you for listening. And the message you heard today was Slander, Satan's Masterpiece, by late Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr., who was a founder and a pastor here for about 60 years. Pastor Shelton began to broadcast back in 1943. That's a long time, isn't it? We've been here. The Lord's been faithful, giving us grace to be here. Be true to your soul. That's what we do week after week. We don't compromise with God's word, and we just bring you, thus saith the Lord. The message you heard today, Slander, Satan's Masterpiece. If you write us, we'll send you these three messages, Slander, the Fruit of Rebellion, and then Slander, Satan's Masterpiece, all in printed form, booklet form, free for the asking. We'd be glad to send them to you. And you might want to get a copy, give to your pastor, give to your Sunday school teacher. We'd be glad to do that. Remember, my mailing address is Radio Missions, or the Voice of Truth, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. We're here each time, each week at this same time. And holler over the back fence and tell somebody, tell your neighbor, Pastor Shelton coming on. And if you do that, I appreciate it. Remember my mailing address, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Until next time, may God bless you.